We already read the account of the resurrection out of John chapter 20, and now we're going to look at a story of Jesus in a conversation that he has with Martha, where he describes himself or identifies himself as the resurrection. And so maybe a different place, but certainly resurrection truth this morning. If you'll stand with me, if you found John 11, just out of the honor of reading God's word together. And we do have a lot of verses to read, okay? So we're going to read quite a few here. And I know you're standing, I'm aware, but just remember, I have to stand the whole time. All right? So you'll be okay. Just pretend like your favorite football team is like about to score the touchdown, because I remember being in the student section and we stood the whole game because we were excited about what was going on. Now, if you can't stand this morning because of some things that Wayne said or some health issues or something like that, totally okay. But I think it is good to stand in honor of reading God's word. Let's start in verse 1, John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not yet 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, listen to this, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Father, we do thank you for the day. Lord, we take this day to celebrate your resurrection, but we know we live beyond the cross. We understand you were alive yesterday, you'll be alive tomorrow, and Lord, I just pray you'd help us as believers to celebrate your resurrection, your life, and the life that you give us each and every day of our lives. But as we take a special day today and we really gather around this truth of the resurrection, and we hope in it, and we celebrate it, and we lift you up because of it, I just pray, God, that you would impact us with your word. Lord, I pray today, and I sincerely, I know that there's people in this room struggling, sorrowful, hurting, in a trial, in a temptation. Lord, they need your help today. And I pray through your word, you would give them that help that they need. We know that you're sufficient to every need. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just do your work in the message as you see fit. Lord, would you please use the scripture by your spirit, maybe understand, and help me as a preacher just to simply get out of the way and communicate what you've given to me. Lord, I need every word from you. It's in you we trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're looking at the book of John on Sunday mornings in our normal services. And so as I was studying and looking about what I was going to preach, I was sort of drawn to the story here in John chapter 11. We've learned this as a church, that the book of John was written because John was concerned in later in his life that those that would hear about Christ, he wanted them to believe. And so even tells us in John 20:31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So John's concern, really from page one of his gospel to the end, is that you would believe. He wants you to believe. He wants you to believe in Christ, because believing in Christ changes everything about your life. It takes you from a place of no hope to a place of infinite hope. It takes you of a place from eternal damnation to eternal blessing. Knowing Jesus is everything. And so John says this, I'm writing this gospel that ye might believe. I tried to emphasize in reading the text this morning, I tried to emphasize how many times the words that ye may believe are right here in the text. And why Jesus did some of the things he did were just so people would have a chance to believe. John writes his gospel a little differently than the other gospels, where John doesn't just tell us what Jesus did, but he records conversations that Jesus had with people along the way. And as we study those conversations, we learn what Jesus was trying to communicate and really who he was and what his message was. And today we're going to look at the conversation that he had with Martha about this time when he rose Lazarus from the dead. Now, Jesus challenges Martha in the area of faith. I hope you picked that up, that Martha was struggling a bit, Lord, you're too late. I had a preacher tell me one time that God is never, let me say it the right way, God is rarely early, but he's never late. And so, but to this group that day, you could say this, and there's even a popular song that is sung, when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Well, in Martha's shoes there, in Mary's position, and the Jews that were with her, they're sitting there going, Lord, if you would have been here just a few days ago, you could have prevented all this from happening. But now it's hopeless. story's already over. Jesus, you're late. Can you see that's their thinking? That's their thinking right up till the minute where he says, Lazarus, come forth. That it's all hope is gone. Our brother has died. You missed it. We sent word. Where were you? You get that feeling from the text. But in the conversation Jesus has with Martha, he says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He tells Martha, your brother will rise again. I want to, with you this morning, if you'll do this with me, I want to analyze this conversation a little bit today. There's a few things that we can learn from it. So just running through the story, I just see this, a couple of things I want to point out. Jesus heard, verse 3 and 4, they sent word, and so Jesus is in a place called Bethabara, which is about 25 miles from Jerusalem, and so it'd be about 23 miles from Bethany, where the family was there. And so he's out, he had gone back to where John the Baptist was baptizing at the first beyond Jordan. He's over there, and he's ministering, and he's away from Judea. As you picked up from the text, they had seen some persecution, the Jews wanting to kill Jesus. And so he's ministering there. He's a couple, 25 miles to them is not a 30-minute drive in the F-150, right? That's a couple of days' journey, right? It's about a two-day journey. And so he's a couple of days away, and Lazarus is sick. And he's not just sick like he has the flu or he has a little a day cold or something like that. The word used here is that he is weak. The idea is that he's on his deathbed. And so they sent word to Jesus. And so Mary and Martha are there. They realize that Lazarus is not doing well, and without some serious help, he's going to pass. And so they send word to Jesus. We can assume that they went quickly to Jesus, maybe a couple of days' journey. Go find the Lord. Tell him what's going on. And so the Lord hears that that Lazarus is sick. Now, this is just how I think. Don't you know the Lord already knows he's sick? I mean, the Bible tells us he's the God of all the universe. He created everything. He's holding the world into existence. By the way, he's giving me the air that I breathe right this very second. He knew Lazarus was sick, but he waited until they came and told him. So why would he do that? Here's another thing that's strange. He abode in the place where he was. So he hears, oh, Lazarus is sick. He knows, but just go with me for a second. How bad is it? Oh, he's not going to make it. He's got that look about him that he's not going to make it that long. Jesus, you have to come. And he looks at the messengers and he says, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. Now, the Lord knows the end of the chapter, right? He didn't say Lazarus wasn't going to die. He just knew by the end of the chapter he's not going to be dead. And so he tells them, no, that's not what this is. And so he sends the messengers away. Now, listen, I'm just telling you right now, if I came to one of you, let's just use parents. I came to one of you parents and I said, hey, down in children's church, little Johnny fell and he broke his arm. No one in here is going to go, well, the sermon's still going. So I think I'll listen to the rest of this. And then we do have lunch. After lunch, I'll go see about little Johnny. Now, take note, I don't think anyone's broken their arm today. Praise the Lord. But you would go immediately to care for the one that was hurt. Jesus didn't do that. Now, he has all power. We've seen this. He can even just in his mind think, boom, and then Lazarus will be healed. He could certainly make a two-day journey over to Lazarus and lay hands on him and heal him. We've seen that happen multiple times in the gospel. He could do that. But you know what he did? He abode still where he was. He just stayed there. And he sent the messengers back. And he knew it'd take him about 2 days to get there. And as I think about the story, I just think about those messengers showing up to Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha, oh, great, they're back. And they're looking behind the messengers. Is Jesus following? Is he behind them somewhere? Hey, is he on his way? And they go, I don't think so. What do you mean you don't think so? Did you tell him that Lazarus? He loves Lazarus. And he loves us. Did you tell him that he's sick? Where is he? Why isn't he here? And they said, oh, no, good news. Good news. He said, this isn't a sickness unto death. It's for the glory of God. They give him the message. I've studied the timeline. Sometime right after that, Lazarus dies. Now, can you imagine what's going on in their heart? I mean, just for a second, listen, read any account of the resurrection of Christ, the same feeling is before the resurrection and the same feelings after. The one before is called sorrow. Can you imagine their disappointment? They've just heard that, oh, this isn't unto death. And for a second, they might have been like, oh, good. Because Jesus would know. And then a little messenger comes and says, hey, Lazarus just passed away. You guys need to come soon. The next thing you know, they're burying their brother. I'm just trying to put you there. What's going on in your heart at this moment? If you're Martha, if you're Mary. How could Jesus tell us that he's going to live? And yet he could have made it. The messengers made it back in time. He could have made it back in time, but he didn't. And Lazarus is dead. And so they bury him. Meanwhile, Jesus looks over at the disciples and says, hey, I think we'll go back to Judea. It's time to head that way. And they make what would be another couple of day journey. So by the time they get there, and the disciples give them a little bit of grief. We'll talk about that in a second. But by the time they get back, Lazarus has died, and it's been 4 days. That's 2 days for the messengers to run home and tell him he wasn't going to die. And then 2 days for Jesus to get there. So 4 days, he's back. And you know, you can study Jewish culture. They have this thing about for 3 days, the spirit sort of lingers around. The fourth day, it's all over. What that means is he was good and dead in 4 days. He was dead. He's in a grave. He's in a cave. The stones rolled over the door. I mean, it's all over. Now we're weeping. Now we're sorrowful. Jesus shows up on the fourth day. I want to show you what the pressure of all these circumstances in the story did to the people involved. One thing that we see in the story is that they were filled with fear. If you look in verses 7 through 16, Jesus says, hey, we're going to go back to Judea. The disciples look at him and say, Lord, I'm not sure if you're remembering, but that's where they want to kill you. I mean, they've already threatened to kill you, and you want to go back there? And they said, you know, they just did this. It's like, let's see, how does he word it? Maybe we should just read it. He said this, where is it? Verse 7, verse 8. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thou thither again? Just the Jews of late. That means, Lord, they just now told you they're going to kill you if you show up. You want to head that way? And so the Lord gives them a little mini sermon, a couple of verses we don't have time to even touch. But he tells them, no, I'm going to work while it's daytime. That's what he said. I got work to do. And no amount of accusations, no amount of threats from the Jews is going to stop me from doing what I'm doing. And so, no, we're going to head that way. So, you know, Thomas goes, well, let's all go die with him. Let's just all go die with him. They're fearful. There's a lingering, here's another emotion. There's a lingering hopelessness in the story. In verse number 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here. You know what she's saying? You could have stopped this. Have you ever wondered, Jesus, why did you allow this to happen in my life? Because he could have. He can do anything. They say, if you would have just been here, Lord, you could have stopped this. Mary repeats the same words down in the verse number 32. Hopeless. It's all over. Now all there's left to do is mourn. And then there's an overwhelming sorrow in the story. In verse 33, of course, the Lord, he's met Martha along the way. And then Mary comes, and when Mary comes, there's some other Jews that are there comforting her. There's, as it seems, a large crowd of people that loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they're all gathered around, and they're weeping. And Jesus sees, looks down as Mary is grasping on his feet, and she's crying, she's sobbing, she's just lost her brother. He looks at her, he looks over at Martha crying, he looks at the Jews crying, he looks around, and listen, he's overcome with sorrow himself. Jesus wept. You know, we have a high priest. It says this in Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know what? Jesus in that moment was sad along with those people. He was sorrowful for their situation. And listen, in his mind, he knew what he was about to do. Let me say this. Jesus never wanted, from the beginning of time, never wanted you and I to have to feel the awful effects of sin. Did you know that? When he created us in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin, there was no death, there was no hurting, there was none of those things. There was no sorrow. All those things are a result of sin. And when Jesus looks on this earth, when he looks at Lazarus in that tomb, and he looks at Mary and Martha weeping and all these gathered around sorrowful, I'm telling you, he's looking at the effects of sin. And he's looking at people whom he dearly loves, and he weeps with them. When you're going through your trials, if you're a believer, did you know the Lord is right there with you? And he feels the feeling of your infirmity. He came and he didn't just show up on this earth and pretend to be a man. No, he became a man. And he became a man so that he could live the life that he was going to live, so that he could eventually go to the cross and die. But in doing so, he felt what we feel. He's gone through the issues and the struggles and the heartaches. He's been rejected and he's been sorrowful. In fact, he was a man acquainted with grief, the Bible says. So sorrow was in the air. You know what else was? Doubt. Doubt. Around every corner, everyone's questioning, Jesus, where were you? They wouldn't say this, but they're probably thinking it. Some of those Jews certainly were thinking it based upon their question. Man, wouldn't this guy, he's made blind people see before. Couldn't he have done something? Is he who he says he is? Isn't he, they're confused, they're doubting. The disciples even are doubting. How do you know that? Well, because Jesus says, I am glad we weren't there. What? I'm glad we weren't there. They all probably look at each other like, what's wrong with Jesus? He's glad we weren't there? Yeah, so for the intent that you would believe. Disciple, you need to see something here. He allowed this situation to happen because they had a faith problem. And by watching what he was about to do, their faith problem was about to be solved. Everything he did was to dispel their doubt that they might believe. So I want to look at the conversation a little bit more closely between Jesus and Martha. First of all, Martha had a couple of things right, and I want to give her credit. And also, let me just say this. I'm not going to be too hard on Martha today, because we have all been there. We're all there many times. We've all been there. So I don't want to be too hard on her. Also, I want to know this. I want you to know this. She is going through a very difficult time in her life as we're reading about what's going on. Do you always make the best decisions in times of great grief and sorrow? Right. Is your faith always extremely strong and bold in times of trial? No. So we can be a little bit easy on Martha, can't we? But let's look at the conversation. There's two things that I see here that she got very right. First of all, she believed in who Jesus was, the Messiah, that Jesus is, in fact, the great I am. No, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He uses this term, I am, many times in the book of John. We call them the I am statements. And the I am statements are something like this. I am the resurrection. I am the door of the sheep. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am, I am, I am. And in each one of those titles, each one of those names that he gives, it's describing who he is as a person. But listen, it goes even further than that. In John chapter number 8, when he's dealing with a bunch of unbelievers, and they're testing him and they're tempting him and they're comparing him to Abraham, he says this, before Abraham was, I am. You are what? No, I am. What he's doing is he's using the ineffable name. That's what the Jews would call it. It's a name that you can't even speak. It's Jehovah God. It's the same name that God called himself in Exodus chapter number 3 as Moses is walking on holy ground and he looks over and he sees the burning bush and he says, I'm going to go look and see what's going on with this bush because it's on fire and it's not being consumed. He goes over and looks at the bush and God speaks to him out of the bush and says, you better take off your shoes, son. You're on holy ground. And Moses says, well, who is it that I'm talking to here? And God says, I am that I am. It's the name of God. It's the highest name of God in the Bible, not that any of them are low. When the Jews, the scribes would write this name, they'd write the name, then they would break their pen, they would go wash, get a new pen, and start writing again. I am. And here's Jesus, and he's describing himself as I am. When I preach Jesus this morning to you, listen, I'm not talking about just some good teacher, some man who lived a couple thousand years ago and had a few things to say. I hear all the time, oh, Jesus was just a revolutionary speaker. Oh, he was bringing all these ideas they had never heard before. Some of that's true, but listen, he was God walking in the flesh. He wasn't just a prophet or someone who could somehow predict the future. No, no, he was God, very God. He is the great I am, and Mary knew this. Mary rehearsed it. She said, no, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So she knew this. She knew who Jesus was. And let me tell you, if you're going to have a relationship with Christ, this is where it starts. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to know who he is. In Revelation, like at the end, when all our chances are done, you know how Jesus introduced himself? He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the, capital A, Almighty. That's who Jesus is. See, all these people in our world have different perceptions of who Jesus is. But Jesus says, John's writing this, and Jesus says, I'm doing these things to the intent that ye may believe. You got to believe in who Jesus is. He's more than just a man. He's more than just a teacher. He's more than just an example. He is God in the flesh. The second thing that Martha got right here is that she believed in a resurrection. She believed in, listen to my words carefully, she believed in a resurrection. She believed in a resurrection. Yeah, she had, you know, John, go back to John 5. So in your Bible, does 5 come before 11? Oh, mine too. Okay, so in John 5, he had already done some teaching. And I believe they were in agreement with the teaching. John chapter number 5, notice what Jesus says. He teaches them that, oh no, one day there's coming a resurrection. John 5 and verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. And by the way, the hour is coming. The hour is coming in which all the graves shall hear his voice, and listen, here's your choices, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus had already taught this truth. All will stand before God someday in a time of resurrection. Everyone who's ever died someday will be brought right up before God and live again to answer to God for the way they've lived their life. And he says, some will be brought to the resurrection of life, praise the Lord. Others will be brought to the resurrection of damnation. That resurrection of damnation, if you want more information, it's in Revelation 20. At the great white throne judgment, when God brings up all the dead, small and great, before him, and all those who have rejected Christ and have not chosen his Son for eternal life, every single one of them will stand before him, and he will judge them according to their works. And here's the sad part of the story. Not a single one of them passed the judgment. It's a resurrection of damnation, but all will stand before Jesus. You say, I don't want to believe in Jesus. You will someday. I'm just telling you, no, you say, I don't believe in Jesus today. You will someday. You will believe in him someday. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess. And so every single one of us is going to bow the knee. In fact, I like to say it like this. I have two, so I'll put both of them down. It says every knee will bow. Everyone will believe in Jesus someday. Here's the difference between those that believe in him now and those that believe in him then. The ones that believe in him now get to go to the resurrection of life. I mean, we get to miss that whole great white throne judgment thing, and we get to go right up there to be with Jesus, because he will be the ones that has paid for our sins, not ourselves. There's a resurrection coming. And she knew it. She knew that. I want to tell you this morning, there's a resurrection coming. And you have a choice to make. A couple thousand years ago, Jesus went to the cross. God in the flesh, he went to the cross. Why would he do that? Oh, I can go get a mirror and look in it? That's why he would do it. For me and for you. My sin is what brought him to the cross. And there was a thought given. I think it was Brother Wayne that gave us this thought this week, that what kept him on the cross wasn't the nails. It was you and I. I mean, they walked by the cross. Listen to this. They walked by the cross and they wagged their heads. It says, if he's truly the Son of God, come down from the cross. And they mocked him. Listen, he didn't come down from the cross. He came up from the grave. No, he stayed on the cross. You know why he stayed on the cross? Because in order to save me, he had to stay there and die. Just because he loved me. And he loved you. And the Bible tells us this in Romans chapter number 9 and verses 9 and 10. I'm sorry, 10 verses 9 and 10. It says this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, how do I make sure when I die I'm on my way to heaven? You make sure you accept Christ's payment for your sin now. You make sure you believe in him now while you have time. Listen, I've been told that we're guaranteed to see death and taxes. I can tell you when the taxes are coming. You've got about 362 days. Okay? But let me tell you, I don't know when death's coming. I don't know when the rapture may happen. We may be out of here before I'm done preaching. I'd be okay with that. You didn't have to amen that. No, I'd be okay with that if the Lord would just come on back and take us. I don't know when the clock's going to run out on humanity. I don't know when the clock's going to run out on your life. Listen, you need to accept Jesus before it happens. He went to the cross to pay for your sin. He rose from the grave to give you life. You can have victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ. But that's the only way you can have victory. You cannot do it yourself. They're all around the grave of Lazarus, hopeless. There's nothing they can do. They have no power over that situation. There's absolutely no way they can work themselves out of that. Jesus had to come and do something. So Martha had a couple things right. She knew who Jesus was, and she knew that there was a resurrection. She said, yeah, Lord, I know. You know, you go to someone who's grieving, and you say, you know, one day you'll see them again. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? But sometimes right there in the moment, the first day, you're going, yeah, I know, but it sure hurts today. Right? It just hurts today. And that's a comfort. And so Martha, she's trying to be comforted. And she says, yes, Lord, I know. I know one day in the resurrection, at the end, a million years from now, I'm adding, I know then, I know I'll see him then. I know the truth. I believe that. It's almost as if Jesus has to say, hey, Martha, look me right here. I am the resurrection. No, Martha, here's the deal. I'm going to help you today. Today. Now, is it true that one day he would live in the resurrection? Oh, of course. But there's something that Martha was missing. And I want you to know that we miss it too. See, we might believe in who Jesus is. And we know, okay, he's the Son of God. The Bible tells us that he is deity, that he is one with God. The Bible tells us that he's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. We believe that, amen? I mean, I believe that. I've staked my whole life and my whole family's life on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died for our sins and rose from the dead. We believe it. I believe there's a resurrection coming. I believe someday there's going to be one of two places where all people spend eternity. It's going to be either in heaven or hell. And the reason they're going to be at one or another of those places is because of the choice they made about Jesus Christ. I remember reading this week about Pilate, and he says, what do I do with this one called Jesus? Like, read that again, Pilate, and then make the right decision. What will you do with the one called Jesus? I mean, I believe that there's an afterlife. I believe that we're going to be in heaven for all of eternity. When the Lord made us, he breathed into our nostrils, Adam there, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what's different between a soul and a body? A soul lives forever. Lives forever. You're going to live forever somewhere. There's a resurrection coming. Here's where Martha got it wrong. She said, Lord, I believe in who you are. I believe in the resurrection that's coming. But Father, but Jesus, she wasn't talking to the Father, she's talking to Jesus. That's as far as I believe. And Martha, she didn't have a green piece of rope with her. But she drew a line in the sand. She said, but Jesus, now we're to a point where we're facing the impossible. And I trust you in who you are, and I know someday there'll be a judgment, but you're late. And Lazarus is still dead. And nothing can be done. And so what she did was she drew a line in the sand in her faith. And she said, this is as far as I can believe. She couldn't see past the sorrow of her current situation to understand that Jesus even had power to cross her line and raise Lazarus from the dead. She couldn't see past the ones wailing around her and the hurt in her heart. And essentially she's going, Lord, okay, I take comfort in some of the things you're telling me, but you missed it today. Now, can I say this? We all do this very same thing. We trust God with our eternity. Do we not? We trust Him with our eternity. But there's times in our life when we're facing a trial. Something comes up, and for some reason, well, now it's an impossible situation. I can't get past the line. What could God do about this? I think it says somewhere in the Bible, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm pretty sure it says somewhere that, well, Martha, if you were listening, I told you, if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God. You know what the Lord's trying to do? He's trying to pick up the faith, the rope. And He's trying to increase her faith. Martha, I have power even for this situation. I understand that this looks hopeless, but I have power for this. And the next thing you know, He's saying, hey, move the stone. And she goes, oh no, Lord, hold on. You can't move the stone. You see what I'm doing here? You can't move the stone. He's, okay, I hear what you're saying, but don't move the stone. He's been in there 4 days. We don't have to pretend what's going on in there. He stinks. Right? He's decaying. Jesus says, move the stone. And He looks into that grave and He says, Lazarus, come forth. You know what happens? Lazarus comes forth. Bound head and foot with grave clothes. He's hopping around. I'm not going to do it. Could have had Brother Mark come up here and do it. I'm not. He's hopping around, napkin on his face. He can't even see. I'm wondering, I just love to sit and think, what is going on in Lazarus' mind right now? He's probably thinking, why'd you bring me back? Anyway, can I tell you this? There's nothing in your life Jesus can't help you with. You go, man, I'm going through a real trial here. And here's how I know you've put a rope in front of your faith. Here's how I know that you're not seeing past that is when you try to fix your problem yourself. Because you're going, well, I trust the Lord, but at this point, I'm all alone. Listen, as a Christian, at what point do you become all alone? But that's how we act. Well, this financial situation, boy, how am I going to get out of this? And you know what? We come up with everything in the world to try to fix our problem, and Jesus is like the last thing on our list. Because we think, well, this is somehow, and I know we wouldn't say it, but somehow He's too late on this, and it's not within His power. There's nothing impossible for Him. You're going through a trial of some sort. You're facing a temptation today. And maybe there's just some relentless temptation in your life. Jesus can help with that. You've experienced some loss and you're going through a really hard time. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to help with that. You don't have power over that of your own. You need resurrection power. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. There's a couple of things you need to note. First of all, that's present tense. That means today. Oh, I need my readers. What is today? The 20th of April, 2025, at 12:09. He is. Tomorrow, when you're facing your next trial, because it's Monday after Easter, devil really likes to get going right then. Guess what? He's going to be the I am then too. And I'm just telling you, we do this all the time where we sell God short on what he's capable of. And we put down a line in the sand. Okay, God, I'll believe you. I mean, I trust you with heaven and hell, but you can't handle this problem I got. Come on. So Martha needed to step over the rope. She needed to understand that Jesus wasn't just going to save her in eternity, but he had a solution for her that very day. In 1 John, we won't turn there for sake of time, but it tells us that we can overcome the world because Jesus has already overcome the world. Like I said this morning, it's impossible for me in a room this size to know what everybody's struggle is, but I know this, you have it. You have a struggle. Can I tell you there's nothing impossible for the Lord? Some of you today, you don't know. You're going, well, if I were to die today, I don't know where I'd end up. And yes, I got all kinds of problems in my life. Can I just tell you, this is based on the scripture. This is based on personal experience. And I promise you, you can go around and talk to the church members in this room. Their personal experiences echo the same. Jesus can not only change your eternal destination, he can change everything about your life. Oh no, he can fix any problem. He can comfort any heart. He can help you overcome any trial. He can help you dispel any temptation. Jesus can do anything. Include raise Lazarus from 4 days in the grave when no one believed he would. Christian, how are you going to get through tomorrow? Well, I'm from Wyoming, so I'm just going to buck up, right? I know you people, and I can call you that. I've been here long enough because I'm one of you. I know I'm not from here. Us Texans have the same sort of thing going. I'm just going to buck up and do it because I'm that big. I'm that tough. I can handle my problem. No, you can't. You can't, and you prove it over and over and over that you can't. You need someone greater. We sang the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. How are we going to get through tomorrow? Because the same God that called Lazarus from the dead walks beside us and lives within us. If you're trying to live apart from him, I'm telling you, it's way better. If you'll just let Jesus help. Let him help. You don't know him as your Savior? I promise you, it's way better. I've never met a Christian who's like, man, I wish I never would have got saved. I've never met that person. They don't exist. That does not happen. Because he changes everything. He makes everything better. You say, I don't want to give up some of the things I got going now. You'll be glad to give them up. He'll replace them with better things. Listen, we need him. If you already know him, you still need him. I mean, you need him today, you need him tonight, you need him tomorrow. I don't know if y'all know this, this world ain't getting easier to live in. I need him more today than I did yesterday. And he's not in a grave somewhere where he can't help. No, he lives. Would y'all stand with me? We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to bless the invitation time, and I'm just going to extend an invitation to you. Everybody, just keep, you can look right here. I want you to know, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he wants to save you. He wants to help you. Wherever you are, whatever place of life you're in, I'm telling you, he wants to, just like he reached down and grabbed Peter out of the water when he was sinking, he wants to grab you too. There's a resurrection coming. Don't reject his hand to help. Christian, if you're struggling, I've been struggling with all the things I'm going through. There's help available in Christ. It may be that you need to come back to the altar, talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trying to do this without you. I drew a line in the sand. I for some reason in my mind, I thought you wouldn't help with this, but now I understand you can. I need your help. Wouldn't it have been a different story if Martha would have said, Jesus, the grave's over here. Let's go. I wasn't ready for him to go yet. Can you help? That'd be a different thing. It's not usually us. As we pray, as Tina will play the piano, we're just going to ask for you to be sensitive to the Lord. If he's worked on your heart in any way, shape, or form, respond to him this morning. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for the day. We pray you'd work in this time of invitation. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. We want to allow everyone to have a time with the Lord. We'll open the altars. Brother Rice is down here. He can help you. If you don't know how to be saved, you want to be saved, he'll love to show you through the Bible. He's not going to give you our opinions. He's just going to take you through the scriptures on how you can be saved. We have ladies who can meet with ladies as well. If the Lord spoke to your heart, we ask you to come.